What is the main point? Why did Jesus come? What is the point of the four gospel books? Now, I just want to say, we say it's the four gospels, but there's not four gospels. There's only one gospel within the gospels. Okay? It's one gospel, one thing that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all hone into and want to say to us when we read the gospels. There's one gospel. And what is the point? What are they trying to tell us? Why did Jesus come? Now, there might be different answers to this question. I'm going to share a few with you, and you can test yourself. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to stand up and put your hand up and which one you chose. But one of the answers to this question is Jesus came to forgive our sins, which is correct, but it's not the main point. Some people will say, but Jesus came to so that we can go to heaven one day, which is correct, but it's not the main point. Some people will say Jesus came to be a great example to us, which is true. Some people will say that he was the perfect offer, which is true. But still, why? What is the main point? Some people will say Jesus came to the earth to show us that he is God. Again, is it true? Yes, it's true. But is it the main point? What is the gospel that Jesus Christ came to preach? And we've spoken about it last year. Can you remember? That Jesus, I'm going to say something, and before you stone me, I just want to explain myself. Jesus did not preach the cross. And Jesus never preached being born again. He spoke about it in private to his disciples, absolutely, about the cross, but that is not the message that he preached. Now, I can see some of you already feel uncomfortable with what I'm saying. But just take a moment and let's go to look at the Gospels and what the Gospels say the message is that Jesus came to preach. If you go to Matthew 4, verse 17, I'm not going to put it up on the board, but there's the message that Jesus came to preach, the Gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the Gospel of the Kingdom. Jesus came and said, repent, for the Kingdom is at hand, right? Is the cross important? Absolutely, the cross is important. If Jesus didn't go to the cross, if Jesus didn't die and rose from death, our sins would not be forgiven, and that will mean we cannot enter the kingdom. Is being born again important? Absolutely, it's important. But if you go and read when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in John 3, he said, Nicodemus, nobody can enter the kingdom if they are not born again. There's a gospel in our culture that says that we want Jesus as our Savior. And now that Jesus has saved me, I'm not going to hell. Hallelujah. That is why Jesus came to the earth. I can go on with my life now because at least someday I won't burn in hell. And that's not the gospel that Jesus taught. That is not all. If you go to Romans and the scripture we like to quote to one another, if you confess that Jesus is, and many people say Savior, then you will be saved. But that is not what the scripture says. If you go and read closely, it says that whoever confesses that Jesus is Lord, he is Lord. This is kingdom language. The fact of the matter is you cannot have Jesus as your Savior without having him as your Lord. There's a famous quote that says that Jesus is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. And if we only, if you're going to read in Matthew 3, you will see that the message that John the Baptist preaches is also repent, for the kingdom of heaven is in hand. In Matthew 10, Jesus sending out his 12 disciples, he tells them, go out with this message. What is that message? The message of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus went to the cross when he rose from death. The scripture says in Acts 1, it says that in that 40 days before his ascension, he chose to speak to his disciples about something very important. He chose to speak to them about the kingdom of God. If you go and read all the parables, they are all about the kingdom, explaining the kingdom. If you go and read the Beatitudes, It is a story. It is a sermon about the kingdom and the way the kingdom of heaven works. If we take parts of the gospel and we make that the main point, we will read everything in the Bible through that lens, and that can become a stumbling block for us. If we only see Jesus as the person that took away our sin, and that is all that this is all about, this was all about just my sin being taken away. If I take that and I read everything through that lens, I will miss the point. I will struggle to get past myself. I will struggle to find the why Jesus came to forgive my sins. The why he set me free. The why his goodness led me to repentance. There's a big why in this, and this why is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, as the gospel speak about. You were not only saved from something, but you were saved to something. God in his goodness did not just take you into the kingdom and say, oh, hallelujah, here you are. What does the Bible say? The Bible say we are the light of the earth, the salt of the earth. We are called as ambassadors of what? The kingdom. That is the main point. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel within the gospels is this, that Jesus is God and he became king. Amen. Are you guys with me? Okay? I think if we grab hold of what I'm going to share with you today, this can change our life. If we go to the parable of the sower, can we go to the next slide? And you will see, when in the explanation, Jesus says in verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom, this is the seed that is sown. And this is the seed. It is the message of the kingdom. It is the gospel of the kingdom that will produce crop in your life. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Whoever hears the gospel of the kingdom and understands the gospel of the kingdom, they will be fruitful. Very fruitful. So Jesus came to forgive our sins. Absolutely. He came to show us that he is God. Absolutely. But why? I just see a gospel, guys, in our culture that everybody stops at salvation. Tell me, what will happen to a baby when he's born and you just leave that baby there? That baby will slowly but surely die. And isn't that the story of so many Christians? Being born again into the kingdom, this life in the kingdom is before them. To grow up in the kingdom, to walk in the ways of the kingdom, to represent Jesus and be the witness of Jesus. But it's just enough for us just to be saved. And there we stand on the outskirts of the great blessing and the kingdom that Christ came to bring us. And he says, everything is yours. But Lord, I just want this little bit. It is a selfish way of thinking. Lord, I just want to be saved. I just want to be okay. I just want to make it to heaven one day. That is the aim of many people. And it's a false gospel. It is a diluted gospel. It's a social gospel. And there's various reasons for us believing these things. But this happens when we take some of the points out of the gospel and make that the main point, that isn't the main point, and lose it out of the context of the kingdom, then we can start really believing. It's not a lie that we believe, but we don't believe the fullness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is everybody okay? Okay. And you hear my heart in this. The kingdom. This is what Jesus came to preach. Now, there's one thing I want to go after this morning, and this is this idea, and I want to show you out of Scripture just a simple idea, and then we're gonna pray. A simple idea that says that Jesus came so that one day we can go to heaven. Now, I want to explain it. I want to try and explain this to you. That heaven is not far off. It's not one day. It's not the story of the Bible. It's not what we perceive. And I'm going to explain to you the concepts we place on words like eternity, words like heaven. We take those words and we think it's somewhere out there, right? It's somewhere outside of time. It's outside of space. It's outside of our realm of what is known to us, right? Isn't that the concept that we have of heaven? It's somewhere out there. But if that is the concept of heaven we are holding on to, then we are holding on more to philosophy than we're holding on to the truth of what the Bible is teaching us. Okay, I'm going to show this to you. So in the Bible, we read about earth and we read about heaven. Isn't that correct? You can go to the next slide. I'm going to try and just visualize it in some other way. So we read in the scriptures about heaven and we read about earth. Okay, earth is our domain. We were born on this earth. We understand this dimension. We understand earth. We understand the fact that if you throw something up, it's going to come down. We understand the laws of nature and physics. It is known to us, right? But then there's this space called heaven, God's space, God's domain almost. And we are not so familiar with God's space. And that is why the parable of the sower says, seek understanding of God's space. Otherwise, the enemy will come and steal out the way, the seed of the kingdom out of your heart. This is why we need to seek understanding, because God's domain is something that to a certain extent is unknown to us, right? Now, the Bible uses different descriptions to describe these two spaces. Like earth in the Bible, you will read things like this present age. We will read things like the world or the age of sin and death. This is the language that the Bible used to describe earth or our dimension or the place that we live, our space. Right? God's space is described in words like heaven, the kingdom of God, or eternity. Now, you will agree with me that these two spaces are very different in nature, right? But the funny thing is the Bible does not separate them. The idea of the Bible is not this great separation between these spaces or these realms that we know of. Now, many of us and people talk about going to heaven, but the story of the Bible, the story of the gospel within the gospels is more about bringing heaven to earth than it is than you going to heaven one day. Now, what separated these two spaces was sin, right? Sin separated. These spaces were never separated. They were intertwined. They were together. They overlapped like God was with his creation and he walked with his creation and he loved his creation and he lived within his creation as a father, and he told his creation, multiply and fill the earth, subdue the earth, take what you know about my dimension and make it known in this area that we call space and time. Make it known, grow it out, that people, that the whole creation may know that I am the Lord, that they may taste and see the goodness of God, right? They were together, but then sin came and they separated. Okay. Now, the whole story of Jesus Christ coming to the earth is getting those two spaces back together to overlap. To understand this, we need to look at the temple. So, these two spaces, they went apart, and then God, in his great mercy, said to the people, what must they build? A tabernacle and a temple. Amen? Where did God's presence manifest in the Old Testament? In the tabernacle and in the temple. In the tabernacle and in the temple was the place where heaven and earth touched again, where heaven and earth overlapped again, where the presence and the glory of the Lord came and it manifests among his people. But the problem of sin was still there, right? And that is why animal sacrifices needed to be made to atone for the sin. And when the sin was atoned for by animal sacrifices, the glory of the Lord came and it fell in the temple so that all the people may see, right? And experience the presence of God. And then Jesus came on the scene. And in John 1, we read that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You remember this? Now that word dwelling is the word tabernacle. The Word became flesh and he tabernacled with us. And what is John trying to say to us? He says, listen, in the Old Testament you had a temple, but now there's a new temple and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is now the place where heaven and earth touches, where the glory of the Lord is seen. right? And it was seen upon him. John testifies that he saw the dove and the Spirit of God coming on Jesus Christ and remaining on him. And Jesus Christ went out, and what did he teach? He taught about the kingdom. And he did not only teach the kingdom, but he demonstrated the kingdom, right? And I'm going to say to you in a moment why this is significant. So Jesus came, and he became the dwelling place of heaven on earth, right? And then Jesus went to the cross, right? And John said, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? And Jesus went to the cross. Now the cross, if you read the Gospels, it's a beautiful explanation of God's, of Jesus' enthronement. He gets a throne of thorns, he gets a kingly robe, and he's lifted up high, not on a throne, but on a cross. And he dies. Why did Jesus have to die? Because a king only rules over the enemies he defeats. So Jesus needed to go to death. What is the final penalty of sin? It's death. Jesus needed to go to the grave and be resurrected. And now because he's resurrected, he is the Lord that rules over the living and the dead. It was the final enemy of sin. And our king needed to defeat sin in its fullness so that we can have total freedom of that sin, right? And we know the story that what happened in the temple. The curtain was torn. And what does that say to us? That says that the glory of the Lord is no longer contained within a temple or within a building. And Jesus takes it further and he says, who is the temple now? Who's the temple? Who's the temple? I am the temple. We are the temple. We are being built up, right? So we become the church. And I want you to start believing this. And this is why worship this morning is so important to us. We become the place where heaven and earth touch. We become the place where the glory of the Lord comes and it dwells. Does that make sense? If we can grab a hold of this, this will change our lives and it will change our circumstances. It will change the places where we live. We will not make our circumstances great anymore, but we will make God great because the glory of the Lord is here. And I've been called to manifest something about the glory of the Lord because I'm now called His temple, right? That is why Jesus says that his kingdom comes with who? Holy Spirit. And His kingdom is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit is, there's the kingdom of God. And it came to manifest itself. Do we understand it fully? No, we don't. Do we deserve it only by the blood of Jesus Christ? Only. It is by grace that we receive this great, great privilege. Not only to be saved and go to heaven one day, but that heaven can come to us and live inside of us. And manifest something about this great, great King of us. So you can go to the next slide. So it is in Jesus Christ. Okay, it was in the temple that they overlap, and it's now in Jesus Christ that heaven and earth touches. What does the scripture say? Christ in us, hope of glory. Church, we are not only called to come together on a Sunday and do sing songs. The living God comes to dwell among us. And if we can change our minds about why we worship, what is the effect of worship? What's the effect of thanksgiving and praise? He says that he comes to indwell, inhabits the praises of his people. The Lord comes. And when the Lord comes, anything and everything is possible in that moment. Right? The story of the Bible, the kingdom of God, is more about getting heaven into you than it is about you going to heaven someday, right? Now, there's words that confuse us when it comes to this concept. Is everybody still okay? There's words that confuse us. These words like eternity, like I said, eternity, heaven. It is this concept of way out there, outside of space, outside of time. Now, can we go to John 3:16? I want to make John 3:16 just like more to you this morning. Right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever might believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Okay. The word that is used there is called, maybe you can go to the next slide. Just want to put it up there. I'm probably like Paul Manwaring also tried to do a word, this word, and he butchered it. I'm also going to probably butcher it. It's a Greek word called Zoe Ananoi. And the idea, Zoe, is it means life. Okay? And Ananoi is the word we get from there is eons. It speaks about a period of time. That is the word that is used for eternal life. Now, in the mind of a first century Jew, right, they believed that there was two eons. There was two periods of time. There's this present age, and then there is the age to come. Okay? Are you with me? It's the present age and the age to come. Now, they believed that the age to come will come when God comes from heaven to earth with righteousness, joy and peace and love and the forgiveness of sins to save the world out of the evil of the present age. The age to come in the early century Jewish mind came when God comes with righteousness, joy, to forgive the world of their sin and to relieve his people from the effect of sin. Jesus Christ, here's the point. Jesus Christ ushered in the age to come. That is why they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah to relieve them, and Jesus was that. He was the offer of sin. Jesus Christ came to usher in the age to come, right? In Galatians 1:4, we see this thing that it says, God who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Again, this idea that there's a present evil age, and the age to come is when God will come to earth and relieve us from the present evil age. Now, what did Jesus come and do? Did he come to set the captives free? Did he come to heal up the brokenhearted? He ushered in the life of the age to come. So, if we want to change John 3:16 into what that word eternity, eternal life means, it will sound something like this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever might believe in him might have the life of the age to come. In John 17, Jesus says, what is eternity? It is to know me, Jesus says. Eternal life, the life of the age to come, came with Jesus Christ. It's not something outside of time and somewhere in the distant future that you're going to attain when you believe in Jesus and you're going to go to heaven when you die someday. That is not the story of the Bible. When we die and Jesus comes back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to judge the living and the dead, it will come into its full completion. But he came in to usher in the age to come and the life of the age to come. Early century Jews were what is called they're creational monotheists. That means that they believe that God created the world and there's only one God. And they believe not only that Jesus is coming to save the people from the earth, but Jesus is coming to save the earth and people is a part of the earth. That is why in Romans Paul writes, and he says, groaning, the whole creation is groaning for the revelation of the sons and the daughters of the Lord, of Jesus Christ. We see the same thing in Luke 18:18. You remember the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He is not asking Jesus, what must I do so that one day when I die, I can go to heaven? He's asking Jesus, I recognize that you are the Messiah and you are ushering a new world, a new kingdom. And I want to know, how can I be a part of that? That is what he's asking the Lord. He's asking Jesus, how can, when you usher in this new kingdom age, How can I be a part of the life of the age to come? Not when I die, but when I live here on earth. And that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom. So church, I want you to stop thinking the kingdom is for one day when you die. It is for today. It is for now. And we must stop letting busyness and everything else come in the way of the life of the age to come that Jesus Christ wants to give to whoever wants it and whoever is thirsty and whoever comes to Him and bows their knee before Him and acknowledges Him not only as their Savior, but as their Lord. You will first meet Him as your Lord and then He will save you. When a king takes new territory, you first meet the king. And then the goodness of that king leads me to repentance. Does that make sense to you? The main point, why did Jesus come? He came to preach and to bring the kingdom of God. He came to usher in the life of the age to come. What is that life? It's righteousness and joy and peace. Where is it found? In the Holy Spirit. Like, aren't we called to be witnesses of Him, of Jesus? This is why the church is called to be different. We're called to be holy. We're called to be other. We are called to be ambassadors, not of the earth, but of this other kingdom that we are part of, and it's called the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is not there for you. Will you go to heaven one day when you die, when you're found in Christ? Yes, you will. Okay, relax about that. My question this morning is heaven in you? What is living in us? Is it fears and anxieties? All the what ifs? What is living inside of us? Is it this life that Christ came to give? Or is it a bunch of other stuff? I want this house to believe in the gospel of the kingdom. In the middle of the Beatitudes, in the middle of the middle of the Beatitudes, Jesus teaches us to pray. And what does He teach us? Lord, may Your kingdom come. Where? On earth. Where are You? We are on earth. Okay, so it's with us. As it is in heaven. The good news is this. If you are found in Christ and you believe in Him, heaven and earth touches. It overlaps, and it overlaps into in your life. If you are willing to surrender to your King and to the Lord of Lords that can take away the sin, who came to take away the sin of the world, to come and set the captives free, to come and manifest Himself. He was the great light of this earth, and He's calling us to be this great light. Will you stand with me? Will you guys stand with me this morning? So my challenge to us this morning, my plea to us, my encouragement to us is, what gospel are you believing? And what do you believe about Jesus? Like, is Jesus just a prophet, a good teacher? Is He just the add-on that takes us and makes sure we don't go to hell one day? Or is He our good King that came to take away the sins of the world so that heaven and eternity, the life of the age to come, can get into your heart and into your mind? So just for a moment, just close your eyes. Just focus on Christ. We have some time left. Now just for a moment, what gospel are you believing? Father, we want to thank You for Your forgiveness. We want to thank You for a life of the age to come. And Father, we want to pray today, Lord, will You fill us? Will You fill us, God? Will You fill us, Lord? Will You fill us, Lord? Why don't you just stretch out your hands if you're just in needing of a refreshment of the Lord? Lord, will You fill us with Your holiness and with Your goodness? Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, fill us with the life of the age to come. Father, because we believe that you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may have the life of the age to come. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you came as a seal and almost as a down payment of what we are going to receive when the fullness of time comes. But we thank you, Lord, that you ushered in Jesus Christ as the King, the life of the age to come. Lord, I pray, may the gospel of the kingdom fill us through the power of your Holy Spirit. May it live in us. May your truth live in us. Holy Spirit, will you come and set us free? You are the anointing that breaks the yoke. Lord, I pray that you will take us out of even busyness and being on the back foot to the front foot, Lord, being defensive to offensive. Thank you, Lord, that you called us and you gave us a commission, as the King commissioned us in the name of Jesus to take the light of the world into this into the darkness and into the dark world, to take the answer of this world out and to be that answer. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, and we come to you this morning and say that we are poor in spirit. And thank you that you say that whoever is poor in spirit, blessed are you, for yours is the kingdom, because the kingdom comes with your spirit. We ask, Lord, today for a refreshing, God. I pray, Lord, that you will even start to transform our minds to think in accordance with your word and with your kingdom. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for the good news. Do you know even the word gospel is a very specific word that is used for the announcement of a new king? It is the announcement of the new king of the kingdom of heaven. That is the gospel within the gospels that we hold on to and that we believe. So we just thank you, Lord, for that grace, God, that you have called us out of darkness into your light. And Father, thank you that you say that you put this treasure in jars of clay, God, in people like us, so that the glory of Jesus Christ may be seen on the earth, and that no man can take that glory for himself, but that the world may know that, Father, that you are good and that you send your Son to free us and to live a life that means and is meaningless, that is meaningful, Lord. So, Father, I want to thank you that you're just moving us from a meaningless life. I just feel like the Lord is wanting to take us into abundant life and life that has kingdom impact. So I just release the grace over this house and over each one of you, the grace of the kingdom, the grace to walk in what the Lord has called you to walk. Oh Lord, will you just release that grace over us, Lord, to be the light and be the salt on this earth. That is the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that this seed, we speak to that seed and we say, blessed are you, seed of the kingdom, for a great harvest will come from you. 30-fold, 60-fold, and even 100-fold. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Can we give Jesus praise for the good news of the kingdom? And I want us to give praise again for Jesus, because today there's people that came into the kingdom. And that is glorious and that is good. And we thank Jesus for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you even for first fruits of a harvest, Lord, that's going to come into your kingdom. A glorious, beautiful harvest. You say, Lord, that we must pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. We thank you, God. And Lord, for that reason, I want to pray over every person here. You're going into the harvest this week, even today. And may you move this week with the Holy Spirit. May you sense His presence. May you sense His wisdom with you, His power with you. And may the kingdom go wherever you go. And it goes wherever you go because He's with you. And wherever the King is, wherever His presence is, wherever His temple goes, He goes. And this is the powerful thing of being sent out in the name of Jesus. If you were sent in the name of a king, it is like the whole kingdom of that king backs you. in the commission that you go to. And I just want to commission us this morning to go out into the harvest and to go and harvest, to be a light, to be salt. So Lord, we just thank you for your commissioning, and I commission this house in the name of Jesus Christ to go out into this world in your name and in your power, and to take the kingdom wherever we go this week.